Well, this should be an adventure. It's the news, according to me. Yes, hello. It is Thursday, March 6th. It's already 1:08 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm at the home studio today, experiencing some high energy dog activity I'm experiencing. I have this little puppy here that's almost 11 months old. And he is he's got the zoomies. He's a little bit out of control. I took him to the dog park and we ran. And when we went to the vet's office and we weighed ourselves. Well, he weighed himself. He weighs about half what I do now. And then we went to Runnings, this little chain place that's it's kind of like a farm store type place, kind of multifunctional. They have a lot of stuff, but they've got dog stuff there. And so we went and checked out some things and just walked around a little bit, had a little chance to interact with some people, some folks. And then we came back here to the house, and he just hasn't settled down. He just, I thought he was tired. I thought I'd wore him out pretty good at the dog park. And apparently the lack of stuff he did yesterday, of course, this morning he didn't have a chance to go to the dog park. I had to go to the jury duty thing. They didn't select me. They said I was a reject, said that I had I was too much of a bigot. I was too white, and I was too radical. I didn't say anything like that. They didn't even ask me any questions. The 12 that they put the 12 in the hot seat, the first 12 that they had up there. And those 12 were, he settled right down on my feet here all of a sudden. The 12 they did pick, out of the 12 that they had up there in the hot seat, they actually were able to, so I think they only had to have six, I guess, or six or seven or whatever that kid is. Six, I think, is what they ended up with. With one alternate. They picked one person from the pool. And that person actually ended up getting disqualified because she said she couldn't maintain. If she felt like something was disgusting or she didn't agree with something, it was hard for her to not show her. She had no poker face, basically, is what she was saying. But it was interesting, some of the questions that were asked and some of the answers that some people gave. And I knew right away how I would answer some of the questions. One of the defense, apparently it was a state case, state against this individual who had done some theft of some kind. And one of the things that the defense said was that if I was up here throwing a ball up against the wall, and I started throwing the ball up towards the clock, I kept throwing it up towards the clock, and all of a sudden I hit the clock and it broke. Would you say that I? How was she asked to answer the question? She asked the question, did I break the clock? Something about did I break the clock on purpose? Would you say I broke the clock on purpose? Now, of course, my initial reaction, she was trying to develop this whole thing of whether or not people had any pre-biases or whether they understood what the presumption of innocence is. My whole thing was, well, I don't know what your intent was. It's all about intent. I mean, you're still responsible for you broke the clock. The evidence shows, if we were all here witnessing it, that the evidence shows that you broke the clock. But I don't know what your intent is. I have no idea whether you intended to hit a bug beside the clock or if you intended to throw the ball everywhere around the clock but not hit the clock and you accidentally hit the clock. It was an accident. That's one thing. If you intentionally were trying to hit the clock, that's a whole other thing. But I don't know what your intent is. I can't tell that. That's for the lawyers and the jury and the whole process to figure out. So that would have been my answer. And of course, everybody had all these weird answers about that one. It's kind of a weird question, really. But that's kind of where it went. It was, And nobody ever, during this whole thing, though, what kind of surprised me, the one question I thought they would ask, and they didn't, they never did ask, is what was in my cup. I have chai with Almond Joy Creamer, my favorite. And we have, I have a backup cup this morning, this afternoon, I'm sorry. It might be morning on the West Coast, where apparently I have a fairly large audience. I have apple cider in my cup this morning. I was basically almost out of tea, and my peaches were starting to turn brown, and so I just decided to end that. It's kind of a sad day, and that goes away. But in the meantime, we are there's a whole slew of things going on. The left's reaction to the Trump speech. Now, everybody keeps calling it a State of the Union, which it was a quasi State of the Union. It technically was not a State of the Union. It was I can't remember what they called it. It was a Speaker of the House invitation to the president. But it was essentially a State of the Union address, and it was even though it wasn't officially called that. I think Biden already did one of those. But it's interesting to hear some of the things coming out of the left-wing media and left-wing individuals, things that they're saying. And they out themselves very quickly with some of the things that they'll say. One of the things that we are headed for, and I want to talk about this a little bit, is the potential for a recession, because we are headed towards an economic correction. And this is going to be transitory. There's probably going to be some inflation, probably going to be some other things happen. Some things are going to go up, some things are going to go down. But it's this whole thing with the tariffs, this is we've been living in a phony bubble economically. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not an economic expert. However, I do understand. I have uncanny understanding of economics to some degree. It's just one of those natural. I think because economics is logical. And I tend to be very good at just deciphering logical things. If it's on its face simply logical, that's easy for me to just break it down. There are some concepts and things that are more difficult for me. But this is one of those things that I tend to have more of a natural inclination to it. I'm kind of mechanically inclined, and I'm also it kind of goes right along with economics, because there's a whole lot of parts to the puzzle. To put together, you've got everything from, durable goods, everything, all the different things that you have within an economic system. You have staples, you have consumer goods. The thing that has, I think, threw many people kind of for a loop was during the late 80s, early 90s, and into the late 90s, was the beginning of it really bloomed in the late 90s, but it was starting to happen in the 80s, the whole thing with the tech world and the tech sector, I should say, of the market. And it's kind of it has become its own thing in its own right. It used to be kind of that. So now it's, in fact, information itself has almost kind of become this thing aside from, within the tech world, within the tech sector. Information itself has now become something, and it's along with AI. It's just been interesting. So we have a lot of interesting things being said. Now, all of a sudden, the left, now they can recognize they're saying we're in a recession now. We're in a recession already. This is the Trump recession. That's not what it is at all. Of course, they talk about the price of eggs, because that has something to do with everything. And even though that doesn't count in their definition of a recession or inflation, it's the weirdest way they tend to just kind of define things however they want to define them for whatever purpose that serves them at the moment. It's just get really tired of that. And that's where we are today. We're the overwhelming support for the Trump speech, the things that were said and the things that were done. Overwhelmingly, the nation, especially independents, Republicans and independents, really were all over it. There's about 30% of the population that didn't like it or hated it. And of course, that's the 30% that is the radical left, they're just going along with everything that the mealy-mouth media is telling them to say. They're saying that some of the things that were really some of the most heartfelt, touching moments of the speech and what was going on, some of those things were very inspiring things that were going on, some things that were happening. And it's for them, it's the most disgusting things. It's unbelievable the way they act with some of this stuff. Oh, yeah, it's... I'm just looking at some of the news feed stuff. I was listening to some things this morning. It just again aggravates the daylights out of me to see some of these things, and I want to kind of point out some of these things that are just the ridiculousness of the left, as well as some of the things that are being said. Now, apparently there was a panel of mayors who consider themselves to be sanctuary cities, and I guess there was a committee, congressional committee, that was put together. And they're asking these mayors, of course, Brandon Johnson from Chicago, Mayor Adams, New York, Wu from Boston, and a couple of others that are kind of not quite as famous. One was from San Francisco, I believe. And they're talking about now we get into this whole Newsom thing. But by the way, I've got new competition now in my podcast, I guess. There's some fellow by the name of Gavin Newsom, I guess, has started a podcast. Which is just absolutely ridiculous, starting a podcast. It's all about, I think it's something about Gavin Newsom. It's his own personal podcast. And I'd like to play, I'm not going to play it tomorrow. I'm not going to play it today, but there's a bunch of stuff that it's so annoying to hear his voice for me, because it's almost hard to describe. It is just such an annoying voice. And the way he lives in this phony, I've said it before, he's like a used car salesman and a phony televangelist who just asks for money, kind of all wrapped up in one. It's kind of, it's kind of wrapped up in one thing like that. It's just. What to say about that guy? So we have this. I want to play some of this because it's pretty intense. This is the this brand. I think it just starts right in with this whole thing. I just can't remember who's at the very beginning here. I think I can go around. And this, it's pretty long. Some of this. I'm going to play a couple minutes of this because it's really quite telling. And I want to get to the point where Nancy Mace is asking some questions of these mayors, because it is really very telling with regard to the way they answer their questions. And I'm really quite impressed with the way they just burn through it, and the way that when they're asking them questions, because they're basically saying, this is a yes or no answer. It's all I have time for. I want to ask everybody a question on the panel. They have like 5 minutes, and they have to go through all these questions, and they didn't want anybody to just start. None of them are giving her, or any of these people asking questions, any kind of information. They start to go into a political thing. And they're all getting, I know Anna Paulina Luna. I'm just a bird in the sky. I don't know. I think there's a song about her. Maybe that wasn't her. I could be wrong. I've been wrong. I'm not a song expert either. But she apparently has some congressional recommendations for them to be written up on charges and be arrested for aiding and abetting criminals. It should be interesting to see what happens with all this. It's going to go to Pam Bondi, to the DOJ, to see what happens with it. Speaking of Pam Bondi, You know, every time I hear, I want to try to find this because it would be interesting to compare their voices. Pageant question. Sorters, maps, airhead. Let's just see if that comes up. I don't know. It's this blonde lady. No, I want to put this on YouTube because it's got to be a video. Yeah, we got to do this on YouTube. So let's go here and put this into this search thing here on YouTube because it's when I hear Pam Bondi, this is the lady I hear, and it's a see what we get here. I don't see it anywhere. Yeah, here, this is it. Right. Very first one. It's about 47 seconds long. I'm going to play this and see what you think of it because it is, this, when I hear Pam Bondi, this is what I hear. And so we'll just play this.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
I think one of the and such as. I think Kamala Harris probably would have had a harder time answering that question. But we let's listen to this. Apparently there's a where did she where have they gone now thing here. this might be interesting to watch. I might watch this later. Apparently there's a where are they now thing here. 2007 when she did this. This was back in 2007. Of course, now she's probably, see, which was she? Pretty 40 years old now, probably. Anyway, what was really funny in this video was that the way the announcer at the end was trying to keep from dying laughing. He's, thank you, Miss South Carolina. He kind of, it's. Anyway, so when I hear Pam Bondi, and let me see if we can put this in here. I don't know if I play her saying anything here about the Epstein files, which is kind of what I'm going for here. It's very possible that this could be the same person. Let's see here. Epstein files. Yeah, let's just go with that. Jesse, she was on Jesse Waters and she was talking about, this is the one right here. I think that's on the Hill. Yeah. Let's see what we got here. This is a 4 minute long one here. Let's go with, yeah, I don't want to play that. Let's go on with this whole thing. Talk about what Pam Bondi says. I don't see her on any of this, though. She's not here. I don't see her. She's not even on this. So that's kind of weird. Anyway, when I hear Pam Bondi speak, it sounds so much like that lady. That's what it reminds me of. And poor gal. To live with that the rest of her life. How many? There are There are only 4.6 million. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Views. There's only 76 million views on that one video of her doing that. Oh my gosh. Okay, so there was that. Now, here's this lady. She's on, I think she's on Piers Morgan, and she's over there talking about, I'm going to play this and see what, this is on from Memeology. And this, so this lady is, she's a Democrat influencer. Her name's JoJo from Jersey, I guess. And I think that's her, JoJo from Jers, I think is her thing. Here's Piers Morgan.
What is a woman?
And he's asking her what a woman is.
Well, a woman is whatever. If you feel like you're a woman, then you're a woman. I know I'm a woman. I identify as a woman.
So if I feel like a woman right now, I'm a woman?
I'm not threatened.
Hang on. What would you feel like?
If you feel like you're a woman, it's your identity, sure.
So hang on, just to be clear.
I'm sorry. What's a man? Piers, what's your definition of a man?
Just to be clear.
What's your definition of a man?
So just to be clear, if I feel like a woman right now, I am a woman. Is that your position?
And if you feel like you are a woman, Piers, and you want to walk around identifying as a woman, it is not my prerogative to tell you that you
cannot. Am I a woman?
I identify as a woman. What is a man, Piers? What is a man?
Oh, a man is
Donald Trump a man?
Human. That's it.
Piers, can I jump into that question?
Adult human male.
Adult human male.
Adult human male is a man.
Adult human male.
Can I finally get
and a woman is an adult human female. Adult human female.
You ask me what a woman is, I am a woman. I identify as a woman.
Okay, but just to be clear.
Can I answer that question?
Hang on, Matt. I'm going to bring Matt in. I just want to just...
Oh, Matt, you really need to stay out of this one, friend.
I just want to be clear, JoJo.
You don't want to go here, Matt.
JoJo said if you feel like a woman, you're a woman. So, JoJo, final time. If I now say I feel like a woman...
It's not about biology.
No, sorry, I'm asking you a question. Stop talking. If I now say I feel like a woman, am I a woman? Am I a woman? If I say I
feel like a woman, you're a woman.
Wow.
What does that mean, though? What does that mean?
If I now say I feel like a woman.
It just goes on with this. okay, so if I feel like, first of all, as a man, what does a woman feel like? I don't know what a woman feels like. I don't know what it feels like to be a woman. To say that is just ridiculous. And it's, well, if you feel like you're a woman, you're a woman. Okay, then if I feel like I'm a giraffe, I'm a giraffe. If I feel like I'm an elephant, I'm an elephant. What's the deal here? There's just no objective way of everything's a construct, and it's just the ridiculous lame brain attitude of this whole thing. I don't get it. I don't understand how we get here. To this point, where a person just can't say, well, you know, biologically, there's a definition, there's a scientific definition of what a male or a female is. Now, if you want to pretend like you're a woman, you can pretend like you're a woman. Or if you're for a woman who wants to pretend like you're a man, it's up to you. You can pretend like you're a woman, or a man or a woman, but whatever. If you pretend like you're a giraffe, you can pretend that way. Kids do that when they're little kids. They pretend like they're Superman, they pretend like they're a cat, whatever it is that they pretend like they are, and it's pretend like you're a bird. But, you know, being able to fly and being able to be a bird is it's just in your head. And if you really want to believe that that's what you are, then you got a problem. It's called a psychological issue. So you need some counseling probably for that. You have a mental problem. Probably used to be called a mental illness. It's just, more chai, need more chai. We have, so there's that. Now I want to get into this whole thing with these mayors. I think there's five or six of them here, maybe seven. Brandon Johnson's one of them here. But let's just jump into this. I'm not sure what's at the very beginning of this thing, if this guy talks at all or not. This is via Paralegal Institute of Washington, D.C. is the name of the channel. And it's they play this pretty much this whole thing. It's a 45-minute long video. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but this first part I thought was very telling and very interesting with regard to their attitudes. And it pretty much tells the whole story. But the first couple minutes, we're just going to play a couple minutes of this with my commentary, of course. And we'll see what you think of this.
Because I thought you might do this. And when I hear
your
answer,
I can't see who this guy is.
No one in this room should be surprised that your approval rating.
A few clips at the beginning.
Is 6.6%.
Mayor Johnson.
Now that's not
Brandon Johnson's approval rating is 6.6%. When I first heard that, I busted out laughing. I literally busted out laughing when I first heard that because that is just to me that is just unbelievable, just unbelievable. So here we are. Oh, this guy's talking a little bit. This is where you actually get into it. See if I can go into some of this. And this guy, he's just going to talk. Here we go.
Ms. Mace from South Carolina.
Here we go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayors here today are actively working to harm the American people.
This is Nancy Mace.
You represent. You all have blood on your hands. I'm going to ask a series of yes or no questions today. And I would like to remind all of you, you are under oath. I only want a yes or a no to my questions. My first question, do you acknowledge breaking into our country is a crime? Mayor Adams, yes, Adams, or no? Yes or no? Do you acknowledge breaking into our country is a crime?
I acknowledge.
Yes or no?
I acknowledge.
Okay, Honorable Johnson, you just have to answer the question.
Breaking into our country is a crime. Yes or no? I acknowledge. Of course, he's going to go into a political speech. That's not what you want. A yes or a no? Is it either is or isn't? Do you think it's a crime or not? Is it a crime or not?
Yes or no? Is breaking into our country against the
law?
So
she goes on
to
the next person. Of course, Adams. You know, his eyes go to the ceiling. Like he's upset about this now because he just didn't seem fair.
My questions. My first question, do you acknowledge breaking into our country is a crime? Mayor Adams, yes, Adams, or no? Yes or no? Do you acknowledge breaking into our country is a crime?
I acknowledge.
Yes or no?
I acknowledge.
Okay, Honorable Johnson, he's not going to answer the question. Yes or no? Is breaking into our country against the law? Yes
depends
or no?
Depends how you cross the border.
Okay, Mayor Johnson.
That's how you cross the border. That's by breaking into the country. That's how you cross the border. No, that's not a crime. It's not a crime to cross the border. It's a crime to cross the border illegally. It's not a crime to cross the border. It's the people who are breaking in. They're breaking the law, and as they do it, that's the problem. If you come across the border with a visa or whatever you got, or if you applied for citizenship and you do all that stuff, or asylum, or whatever you've got. Come across, you're not breaking in at that point. Her definition is the breaking in part. That's they need to figure that out. They're totally ignoring
that
part of it.
Comprehensive immigration reform.
This is Brandon Johnson from Chicago. Comprehensive
policies are what's necessary.
Mayor Wu, do you have a better answer than these gentlemen before you? Yes or no?
Yes.
This is Mary Wu, who has an Ash Wednesday cross on her forehead. Which I don't get that. Sorry, I don't understand the whole Ash Wednesday thing as far as why people do it. I understand Ash Wednesday. I don't understand. I don't see it in my Bible anywhere. Sorry, I just don't. There's a lot of things we do, but that aren't in the Bible. I just don't see that as a thing. It's just a religious thing, I guess, and I'm good with that, which is fine. But anyway, so
okay, do you have a better answer than these gentlemen before you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe it's a?
She followed the instructions, and she believes that breaking into our country is a crime. This is the mayor from Boston. Wow. Okay. She answered the question. I think she finally figured it out after they asked the first four.
Acceptable for illegals who commit heinous crimes be released back into the public instead of being detained and deported. Mayor Adams, yes or no?
Anyone break a crime?
Yes or no? This is not hard. Yes or no?
Anyone that breaks a crime should be detained.
Okay, Mayor.
Anyone
yes
that breaks
no?
a crime
should be deported.
Okay, Mayor.
any individual that breaks
okay,
the law should be held accountable.
This is why you have 6% approval rating, because you suck at answering questions. Mayor Wu? Yes or no?
Anyone who's a public safety threat should be prosecuted.
All right, I have my next question. So
they want to go on this diatribe. They want to go on this whole thing of they want to make a political speech. And it becomes the point where it's a yes or no question. Just answer the question. Later on, because these senators, these congressmen, they only have a limited amount of time. They were given 5 minutes to ask five people like 10 questions. That doesn't provide enough time for you to go on with a sermon.
Legal alien rapes a woman. Do you believe you're on the right side of history, Mayor Adams? Yes or no?
Say that question
again. Okay, Mayor Johnston.
I'm not going to repeat the question. Mayor Johnston, what do you think? Yes or no? Are you on the right side of history when a legal alien rapes a woman? Are you on the right side of history? Now, the reason she's saying this is because almost all of these cities have had women get raped by illegal aliens, and they're out on the street. Almost every single city here that she's talking about, every single one of them, have had rapists released from prison after processing, just released. No trial. They're back out on the street. And they were illegal aliens. Shouldn't have even been here. Away you go. That's what they're taught. That's why she's asking the question. The question was, are you on the right side of history with this?
When a legal alien rapes a woman, do you believe you're on the right side of history? Yes or no?
I will charge and prosecute them.
Yes or no? Okay. Well, okay. You said you would go to jail, didn't you?
I will charge
for harboring illegal aliens or something, Mayor Johnson.
Could you repeat your question, please?
When an illegal alien rapes a woman, do you
so
believe you're on the right?
So he's heard the question be asked to three other people, and he wants the question repeated. Could you repeat the question, please?
Side of history.
Could you clarify that question?
Okay, Mayor Wu, yes or no?
No, rape is obviously horrible.
Why are you letting rapists back out onto the streets of Boston?
That is not true. That is not what's happening
in
Boston.
When an illegal alien molests an underage kid, do you pat yourself on the back for being compassionate? Mayor Adams?
It's despicable and he should be arrested.
Mayor Johnston?
I prosecute folks that commit crimes like that.
You guys let him out on the streets. Mayor Johnson?
We arrest violent criminals in the city of Chicago.
Mayor Wu?
So there's, not to be confused here, there's a Mayor Johnston and there's a Mayor Johnson. The Mayor Johnston, I'm not sure where he's a mayor. That might be San Francisco. The mayor, he's not San Francisco. The Mayor Johnson is Brandon Johnson from Chicago. Johnston, I can't remember where he's from. It's not New York. Adams is New York. So I don't know. Oops, now my...
We investigate, arrest, and prosecute.
You guys don't sound very confident today. Would your city honor...
I don't know what's going on.
Adams? Yes or no?
Well, yeah,
in conformance with law, we will honor detainers.
Mayor Johnson?
If there's a criminal warrant, we'll help them pick them up. If there's no criminal warrant, we'll honor a notification request.
Mayor Johnson?
Criminal warrants, we always cooperate with federal agents with a criminal warrant.
Mayor Wu?
Get a criminal warrant, we will enforce.
Even though they said
a criminal warrant. I'm talking about an ICE detainer on an individual who's here illegal who rapes kids. Do you all hate Donald Trump more than you love your country, Mayor Adams?
Oh, this is a good question.
I respect my president. I respect my
yes
country.
Yes or no? You're having the hardest time today. Mayor Johnston?
I love my country.
Yes or no?
I love my country.
Mayor Johnson?
Yeah. He's got a smirk on his face. I love my country. I love my country. Yeah, this is... Do you hate Donald Trump more than you love your country? Which, that's kind of an obtuse question, really. But I get where she's coming from. And of course, it's a yes or no question. All they have to do is say no. That's an easy question for most people, even people who hate Donald Trump. No, I love my country more than I hate Donald Trump. I think that's a softball question, really. But when they don't answer it, then you know they actually hate Donald Trump more than they love their country. I think Johnston here, I think he had a pretty good answer. I love my country. That's all he's going to say. But he's got it's the smirk on his face that tells me all I need to know.
As the son of a pastor, I love everyone.
As the son of a pastor, I love everyone. And as the son of a pastor, you have one of the most... Oh, you should see the look this lady has behind him. She's looking... She's giving him the hairy eyeball. It is the weirdest thing. Now, you have to understand, Johnson, Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago, is now under a huge press. I mean, like a wine press type press. They are after him in a big way because he is... Well, let's just say the corruption is being found out. He has been involved with the taking money from the teachers union in Chicago to the tune of, you know, a lot. He's been basically fashioning city policy around the whole teachers union. They get whatever they want right now. It's ridiculous. They're broke. The financial issues that they got going on right now is, of course, they asked him a little bit later about crime rates. And he said, the crime rate's down. It's still higher than per capita than New York, which is also ridiculous. But he just wants to say it's down. Crime rate's down. It's been down this whole year. Well, it's still too high, buddy. It's still too high. And that's part of the problem right there. They just won't acknowledge that. He can't even say that. He can't say it's still too high. One crime is one too many. At least we got it down. We're going to work on getting it down further. It's like, he can't even say that. You know, at least I got to respect that.
But that's and not. This country.
Mayor Wu.
I love my country and my city.
Do you all, are you all willing to go to jail for violating federal law, Mayor Adams?
I'm not going to violate federal law, so I don't have to worry about that.
Mayor Johnston?
We don't violate federal law either.
You don't violate federal law?
We do not violate federal
law. Is it violating federal law if you don't honor detainer requests from ICE?
Absolutely not. In fact, the statute Congressman Biggs shared, we explicitly follow. The statute says you cannot prohibit city employees from sharing information about someone's status with the government. We do not prohibit that.
Do you love illegal aliens more than you love your fellow countrymen?
I love all the residents of the city and county.
Mayor Johnson.
Of all the residents.
Are you willing to go to jail for violating federal law?
The city of Chicago complies with all laws.
Oh, I highly doubt that. Mayor Wu?
We are not violating federal law.
Mayor Wu, I have a last couple questions for you. Do you believe that ICE arresting a child rapist, quote, threatens everyone's safety, end quote? Yes or no?
No.
Does ICE arresting a murderous MS-13 gang member threaten everyone's safety? Yes or no?
No.
I would like to hold up this quote of you where you say, ICE's efforts actually threaten the safety of everyone, end quote, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu. You're a hypocrite. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I yield back.
Chair recognizes...
Mr. Chairman, I have a unanimous consent request. Mr. Chairman.
Oh, this is, now, here we go. Unanimous consent. This is...
Proceed.
I'd like to seek unanimous consent to enter
into... There won't be peace in our streets until there's peace. There will be peace in our streets until there's... Whatever it is. Whatever. She has this little thing she used to say all the time. There'll be unrest in our streets as long as there's unrest in our lives or whatever
it is. To the record, this article, and I'll do this as a survivor of sexual violence myself. This is from
This gives people a license. I don't like this. I don't like that. No, you're not being... a representative of yourself here. Nancy Mace does this too. She does this as well. She was apparently either some kind of an assault that she had against her. Everybody, you know, does this. They're like, oh, well, I was a victim of this or that or whatever. So I have a right to speak. I have more authority about this. Well, probably you have some emotional baggage that you probably can't think about. You probably can't talk about this logically. I appreciate the fact that you can relate to the victims, but that's different than having a logical, unemotional, logical way of thinking through this to make some sense of it. You're more likely to react to something, when you have an emotional tie to something. And I appreciate the testimony you have about being a victim. That's fine. But it doesn't give you an authority. It doesn't make you an authority on being an expert on something. Just, sorry, it doesn't. It gives you credibility as a witness.
March 2018.
Without objection, so ordered.
Data from Texas shows that U.S.-born...
Without objection, so ordered. We've put it in the record.
I haven't entered it.
You have what?
Mr. Chair, can I have several articles. I need to enter them. Let me just go ahead with what the articles are, what they speak to.
What's the next article?
Let me...
She wants to read all the articles. And this is just another one of those entitlement things that people go through. So this is where we're at now with the Democrat Party. Now, at the same time, they're on MSNBC, and they're all talking about Donald Trump's speech, and they're all talking about how disgusting it was, and how, here again, they're picking the 20% of people who don't like Donald Trump for 30% of the, for the 70% that approve of what he said. In fact, 79% actually had a positive feel about the, and these are push polls from the Democrats, which is should be the other way around. It should be. So this is where we're at right now. And now I want to talk about the economics of this whole thing a little bit, because there is going to be a what I call a correction in the market. And the reason there's going to be a correction is because we have very clearly a market that is fake and phony in a lot of different ways. And part of that's because of whenever you have a trade deficit with another country, while it may not be a huge issue to some degree, some things are going to be more expensive, some things are not. It stabilizes prices to a certain extent, and you kind of get used to it. But at the end, you keep kicking the can down the road is what you're doing with that. And at some point, that's got to stop. It's got to be corrected at some point. The only way to correct that, of course, now a lot of this is because the manufacturing, and there are people saying that all these manufacturing jobs have gone away. They're going. We were told by Barack Obama that this is the new normal. There's no way of bringing any jobs back to that we've lost overseas. This is prior to Trump coming. Well, he's got some kind of magic wand. He's going to wave. Well, yeah. I mean, we increased the job market. We increased everything. We brought jobs back to the United States. Now, what's happening now with the tariffs, and now we have companies like Toyota and companies like some of the other car manufacturers, as well as what else was there? This whole range of things, even in the tech sector, where they're talking about coming here and investing millions. That's part of this whole $5 million gold visa thing that Trump is selling. You're bringing in people who have, for them, $5 million is nothing. Oh, yeah, okay, I want to buy, I can be a U.S. citizen, and I can bring all my assets in as well. And we're going to have jobs. We're going to start businesses here. We're going to put workers to work, and we're going to have businesses here that rather than having them overseas, because they avoid the tariffs that way. They're going to come here, manufacture products, put people to work, and they're going to pay taxes here. Just the regular taxes, but they don't have to pay the tariff, the shipping, and all the tariffs and all the other things. They're going to come here. It's now in the meantime. There's going to be some price changes. There's going to be some things that are going to go up and down in price. There's going to be some limits on goods that you can purchase, and because this is going to take a while to stabilize and sift through. And there's going to be a major correction, right? When what you're seeing in the stock market, in fact, most of the stock market's down right now. And most of the people who understand the stock market are not nervous about it. They're not concerned about it at all. Now, there are people out there saying, oh, look at the stock market's crashing. Oh, we're going to go into a recession. And everybody who's saying that, if you look back at what they've said, it's all about hating Trump. The people who are just market nuts that don't care about politics, they're all looking at it and going, this is a good time to buy because this isn't going to last long. They're saying 3 to 6 weeks. And everybody's going to wish they'd been purchasing something because the market is going to be on fire. in a good way. It is time to purchase right now. So if you've got a stock out there that you wanted to buy, it's a good time to buy one. I've actually upped some of my investments in my portfolio. I've gotten a little bit more aggressive with some things just here in the last month because things are setting up to really go a different direction for quite a while. I mean, that's, you know, barring, and there's always something that can possibly happen. There can be some kind of world calamity, world something that would happen, and you never know about those things. Those things always happen. But beyond that, and those things have always happened, but the correction after the correction, and I'm not a financial counselor here. Just give me my opinion. Overall, if you've got more than a few years to ride some things out, you'll be very happy if you're buying into the stock market right now. It's not a good time to sell unless you're selling stuff you don't want, but it's another story. So there you are. That's my opinion about it. But the left, their heads are exploding. They're still talking about the price of eggs, which has more to do with the bird flu, which had nothing to do with Trump. And just different things. And in fact, it one could even talk about that a little bit and understand that the bird flu thing is actually, there's some political things going on behind the scenes there as well. But so here we are. We're at the point now where the Democrats, not the Democratics. I actually heard this the other day from a young person talking about the Democrat Party and some of the Democrat people, the constituents in the Democrat Party, and she actually called them the Democratics. She actually called them that. Which, when you realize what that means, now look, when I was growing up, for those of you who are my age, and I know there's a few of you out there, you remember when the Democrat Party was called the Democrat Party and people were called Democrats. The Democrat senator from here, somewhere, wherever, the Democrat this and Democrat that. They are now, 99% of the time, they are called Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, the Democratic congressman, the Democratic senator, Democratic mayor, those who are the parts of you will rarely hear them call themselves Democrats. They are redefining the narrative. Now, when you stop and look at this, just like at the speech the other night when the president gave the speech, they all had these little ping pong paddles. I don't know why they use ping pong paddles. All of them had little phrases on them. They're all holding them up, doing their little thing. It's obviously made by some marketing company. Everybody got one. Everybody got to hold their little ping pong paddle. These people didn't make their own ping pong paddles. They are lockstep with each other. This is what you call dictatorship within the Democrat Party. And at the same time, they're discovering that every single one of the major Congress people and senators are all out there doing their own little video short. It's like a 1 minute long thing where they give this speech. You talk about Donald Trump, and they're all talking about how of all things, how the economy is not what Donald Trump says it is, and just one thing after another, they're all talking about all this stuff. But they all say exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same speech. And there's like 30 of them who are talking about the same thing. And it's the exact same speech. And of course, they play it all at the same time. They don't all speak exactly the same, intonation and all that stuff. But they definitely have the same speech. They have the same writer. So you have to wonder, what in the world, And they're all doing the same production, the same video, the same everything. It's all looks the same. It all sounds the same. And they're all reading the same script. It's just really bizarre. But it's, they may try to make it sound like it is just organic. Now, they don't have as much money as they had before all of a sudden. I've noticed that the demonstrations and these protesters aren't showing up like they used to because the money's, you know, where'd the money go? Well, it's being found. They have to be really careful where they spend money right now because people can trace that, the spending back to somebody. And there's a little organization out there right now called the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, that's out there looking at all this stuff. It's got them on the run. Needless to say. So, having said all that, I'd like to do just, I've gone really long here. Hopefully tomorrow morning, I will have some more words, some more video, if I get a chance. Now, this whole thing with the jury duty today kind of messed up my whole plan for the day, but I gotta go get gas in my car and stuff later today, but tomorrow morning will be a normal day, hopefully more normal, get some things done. Once again, folks, just, you know, thanks for listening. Thanks for being interested in this kind of stuff, because it really matters. I think this kind of stuff is, you know, what the country is going through and what we're being told, and I think the veneer has come off. We'll talk about it tomorrow. That'll be kind of more of my subject. But once again, folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be praying for our nation, pray for our leaders.